I'm going to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 17. As we deal this morning with remember the past and prepare for the future. And I talked to a man one time a few years ago, quite a number of years ago now, and I asked him if he believed this. That the church was going through the tribulation. And he said, well, prepare for the worst and hope for the best. Well, I'm pre-trib, if you're wondering. But I want us to focus upon the end time stuff today and tonight. And so I think we can do that by remembering the past and preparing for the future. Okay, and so Luke chapter 17, verse 26. Praise God. Luke 17, verse 26. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so it will be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day he is on the housetop, and his goods are in the house, let him not come down and take them away. And likewise, the one who is in the field, let him not turn back. Remember Lot's wife. Whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life will preserve it. I tell you, in the night there will be two in bed. One will be taken, the other left. Two will be grinding together, and one will be taken, the other left. Two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. And they answered and said to him, where, Lord? He said, wherever the body is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Thank you for your presence. And I pray, Lord, your anointing upon your servant to proclaim the truth of Scripture to us today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Remember the past and prepare for the future. Praise God. I don't want to be self-centered here, but I do want to give a personal illustration. I remember when I preached my first funeral. Most preachers would say they remember when they preached their first sermon. But I remember my first funeral. And the funeral was for a 21-year-old suicide victim, a college student. And I can tell you, having never stood and preached a funeral before, and I've preached many since then, but that was my first one. And to put it plainly, I was not prepared, or I didn't think I was. And I was wanting to go to a funeral and tell what a wonderful person this wonderful Christian this person had been, and how that they had us so blessed and so happy in heaven. But I wasn't certain that he was in heaven, and I wasn't certain he ever had any kind of relationship with God. I didn't even know him. I knew his mother. And so he had no known relationship with God. However, God helped me. And all I did, and the place was full. It wasn't in a small town. It was in San Angelo, Texas, in their place. And there were lots of college students there and from all around, and I thought, Lord, what do I tell these bunch of young people, you know, and I don't even know this guy, you know, and here he's committed suicide, and he did it because he broke up with his girlfriend, or she probably broke up with him, the reason he committed suicide. But anyway, but God helped me, and all I knew to do was just preach a straight salvation message and say, this is how you can be saved, this is how you can prepare for the future, this is how you can get right with God, that's the most important thing, this is going to happen to us all, And the Lord help me to be able to preach to people that will never come to church unless it's a funeral. And God helped me that day. But I wasn't prepared. It took God to prepare me. But there's things that are in Scripture whereas God prepares us for what will happen in the future. And the Lord Jesus here gives us an example here of what we ought to remember happened in the past so that we'll be prepared for what's coming in the future. And what's coming in the future is the coming of the Lord. So we'll be prepared and ready when Jesus comes. Amen. And so we're told here to remember the days of Noah. And poor Noah, he gets preached about a lot, but anyway. And Jesus says here, he's actually telling us to remember this. He says, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will also be in the days of the Son of Man. And in Noah's day, they were proclaiming or practicing a normal way of life, what was normal for sinful mankind to practice. There's no doubt they were planning weddings, may have been planning funerals, baby dedications, celebrations of all kinds. It was a normal day for them in the world. And Noah had been prophesying for many times or telling them, preaching, he was a preacher of righteousness, and that God was going to send a global judgment. There was going to come a flood on this earth and nobody was going to survive and they better get right with God. And people were busy doing everyday things, but it was a corrupt way of life that they were living. As a matter of fact, there was so much evil in the earth that was crying out for the judgment of God. In the book of Genesis, it tells us there that the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And this identifies the fallen humanity, that all they wanted, all they could see was just something evil. And maybe they got up and say, well, you know, how can I hurt somebody today? How can I cause some pain in some family? How can I destroy a person's property or marriage or home or family? Or how can I bring them so much insecurity? How can I just do something evil today? That's the mindset of the people back in Noah's day. And we can't imagine anything being that evil, but it was. It says the thoughts of men's heart was only on evil continually. All they had in mind was to doing something wicked that day. That was their way of life. And God had said, it's an end. I am going to destroy mankind whom I've created from the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, I'm going to destroy everything. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That's the only reason you and I are here today. That somebody feared God, somebody loved God. And Noah was prepared. The Bible calls him a preacher of righteousness. And I'm sure that they didn't want to hear what he had to say. And they probably used him as some kind of joke to talk about what he was talking about. But Noah believed God. By faith, Noah, being warned of things not seen as yet, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Hebrews 11 tells us that. And so Noah here was one man, regardless of what everybody else was doing, he was going to serve God no matter what. You know, that's the kind of determination you and I have to have. If the whole world just is corrupt, amen, and if all government corrupts itself more than it already is, and if everything else doesn't fall into place and things don't go the way that I think they should, I'm going to serve God no matter what. My eyes are upon the Lord. I'm going to obey God. I'm going to prepare my heart to serve and to seek God, and I'm going to leave this world when Jesus calls. Amen. It's the way we got to be. Praise the Lord. In Noah's day, they were not prepared, not a prepared, they were an unprepared people. They weren't prepared to lose their children. They weren't prepared for everything to drown in the flood. They weren't prepared to die themselves. They just weren't prepared to lose it all, but they would. They ignored the preaching of Jonah on a coming judgment. They probably ignored Noah's warnings of a coming judgment. And here they were in a place where it hadn't rained, and there was no huge body of water close. And I'm sure they were walking around saying, oh man, what do you think you're doing building that boat? There isn't no water here. You know, it'd take a flood to float your boat. I'm sure Noah could say, it is coming a flood. And that's the only thing that's going to float. But anyway, they weren't prepared to die. They weren't prepared to lose it all, but they would lose it all. And as well, they ignored Jesus' warning today And people ignore the certainty that the end is near. Man, the end is near. I don't believe any thinking person today can just say everything's going to go on just like it is and that nothing is happening. I believe that we're on high alert, that we need to be ready to meet God. And we need to prepare for what could be now or the future. Praise the Lord. So they were unprepared. There was no fear of God there, no reverence, respect for God's word. They said they heard Noah's preaching. They said, oh, we don't believe all that. We've heard all that all of our lives. We're not going to repent. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to go on as life is normal. But they had no faith that a judgment was coming, even though it had been prophesied to them. They had no excuse for not knowing, because Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so they went on until the unexpected happened. Now, unexpected things happen in our lives, don't they? You know, I went to get my driver's license renewed the other day. I don't know. I'm not a wild driver, but anyway, it has to be renewed every once in a while. This year is my year. And they would only see me by appointment only. And so I went in to, and the lady was very kind, very nice there, and she said, I need your birth certificate. I said, okay, here it is. Hand it to her. She said, that's not your birth certificate. I said, yes, it is. I said, right there, Waco, Texas. I am a Texan. I am an American. She said, well, we've got the hospital record, but we don't have the national record. And so I walked across the courthouse and got that for a price of $24. And while I was in there, another man came in. He said, I need to get my driver's license renewed. And she said, you need your birth certificate. He said, look, I'm a U.S. Marine veteran. I fought for your freedom. I don't have my birth certificate with me. She said, I'm sorry, sir. You have to have your birth certificate to get your license renewed. Okay? So he was prepared for the moment. He didn't get angry. Matter of fact, before he left, I thanked him for fighting for my country to try to make him feel a little better. But he wasn't prepared. And there's things in life we're not prepared for. But my friend, we do want to be prepared to meet God. God spoke to the prophet Amos in chapter 4 and says, I overthrew some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you are like a firebrand plucked from the burning, yet you have not returned to me, says the Lord. And Amos is prophesying to the people here. He said, thus, therefore, I will do to you, O Israel, because I will do this to you. Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. And so he was telling them the judgment's going to happen, and you need to be prepared to meet God, because many of them would die. It's in the time of Amos, a long time ago. And so God has told us to be prepared for whatever happens. And we can be prepared, even though we cannot see the future. We serve a God who does. And God misses nothing. He knows everything. And so let's move on now to the remember God's warning for the future. Okay, we remember the past. We've talked about Noah. That's the past. But those things are put there so that we'll be prepared for the future. In the book of 2 Peter, we find that the prophet there, or the apostle there, he prophesied that presently there would be the same mentality probably of Noah's day. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, it says, verse 4, I'm going to get here in a minute. 2 Peter 3 and 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continued as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget that the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded by water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire unto the judgment of the perdition of ungodly men. And so just as people were not expecting the flood, even in Peter's day, they were not expecting there to come an end of the world that they presently were in. And the Bible says there here that they will be scoffers in the last days. There's people who mock, people who wallow in unbelief that anything could ever change the world that they're in. Today, society, much of society scoffs at the Bible as whether it could be true or actually if it could be the Word of God or not. There's people that talk about that. I don't ever question that. I know it's God's Word. Amen. I don't ever sit around wondering whether or not the Bible is God's Word. I know it is. And the people scoff at it and make fun of it and its message, and even when it mocks the message in the Bible. What a foolish thing. And people will scoff at the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ, and people will not even believe that there's such a thing as a resurrection from the dead, even though history proves it without question the most accurate recording is the resurrection of Christ. Over 500 people saw him alive at one time. And then that day, in Noah's day, they probably scoffed at his preaching. His boat, no rain, no water. Just imagine the laughs, the jokes, the insults, the people's attempt to make him look stupid. And that's what happens in our society, in our world today. When something doesn't come to pass, they become the object of all jokes and things of that nature. And I remember years ago, even when I was a little kid, and my brother and my cousin, they built a raft. I guess they got to reading too much about Tom Sawyer and Huckleberry Finn, whatever, and they built a raft and they cut down trees, and they were just, you know, young teenagers, and they built a raft that there was nowhere near water. And it would have took a tractor to pull it down there to the water if it ever got water. There was, you know, a couple of hundred yards away, there was a creek that ran through there. It was, and the raft they made was wider than the creek when it was empty. But anyway, neither one of them are here today to hear me tell this, so I told it anyway. But I'm sure just as in Noah's day, there's a lot of laughs and a lot of jokes, a lot of insults. That thing is big enough to hold a lot of things, but yet there's no water, it's not going to float. But you know, the day the rain began to fall, all the scoffing stopped. It was too late to repent, too late to change. Judgment had begun on this world. And it rained in the fountains of the deep, and the earth broke up. And the rain came, and it never quit raining for 40 days and 40 nights. And when it was through raining, there was not one peak of any mountain still to be seen. It was completely covered the earth. And it was too late for anybody to make a change and to repent, and it's time judgment had come, and it was over. The day of repentance was gone. It's too late to make it right. You should have listened. But they didn't. And one day when suddenly thousands are missing upon this earth, there will be no answers, only imaginary explanations. The scoffing will stop when Jesus comes, and people will all be saying again, I wish we had all been ready. In Matthew 24, I'll read some scripture there, Matthew 24 and 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his master made ruler over his household to give him food in the due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. In other words, it'll be blessed for the people of God that they'll be doing what God created them to do when he returns. Assuredly, I say unto you, he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, my master is delaying his coming, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he's not looking for him, and will him, and at an hour when he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him with his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I want to tell you something, friend. God gives us warning beforehand in the past, like Noah's day, so that we'll be prepared for this day, or the day when Jesus does return, or when Jesus raptures his church away and calls his church to be with him. Amen. And here they were walking in their ungodly lust. That means they didn't just lust every now and then. They had a habit of it. And they were in pursuit of evil in Noah's day. And they did everything they could to be evil. Amen. And they were walking their ungodly lust, and they were just in pursuit of sin and evil. That's all they were in pursuit of. But what are people in pursuit of today? I think if we look around our nation, we could find, yes, there are is a remnant of people that are in pursuit of God and His holiness and His love, and people that truly are born again, that want to be with Jesus and intend to be ready when Jesus calls, and are trying to do everything they can to take as many people with them to heaven as they can. I believe there's that remnant of people throughout our country today and throughout the world today. Praise God. And I thank God for that. That's what should characterize all of us. But people in today are pursuit of many things, ungodly things, and people in our society are in pursuit, not just in our society, but in pursuit of unnatural things, transgender things, and trying to play God and trying to do things that, trying to make it capable where a man can have a baby. You say, well, that's foolishness. Yeah, it is. It'd make a fool laugh out loud. It should, anyway. But people trying to play God. It's not going to happen. Never going to be God. There's only one God. And there's many people that are in pursuit of various things. The Bible says that the love of money, people in pursuit of money, is the root of all kinds of evil. You say, oh, somebody said the love of money is the root of all evil. No, not all evil, because Adam and Eve weren't tempted with money in the Garden of Eden, but they both sinned. But the love of money, the love of things, the love of possessions can become the focus of people's life where they won't have room for God anymore. And Paul says this to his son Timothy in the faith, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith, losing in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It's simply saying, you know, it could be money, it could be something else. But they have forsaken God for something that's temporary and that will pass away and fade away with time. And then he tells the young man of God here, Timothy, he says, but old man of God, he calls him that, not simply because he's a preacher. I think he's talking about all people that are in pursuit of God. Old man of God, flee, run from these things. That means being caught up in the temporary world, putting all of your effort on things that are going to be gone and fade away and will melt with a fervent heat one day. But he says, be after this, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue patience, pursue gentleness. Yes. We are to be in pursuit of the things of God and not of the things of this world. Because if you follow and chase after the things of this world, eventually they will bring disappointment. I know I really do not have any testimonies of people who won the lottery that just made their life wonderful from then on out. Usually in a few short time, they've spent everything they had, and what they didn't have, the government got the rest of it. But you see, things in themselves are not sin, but if we're in love with things and not in love with Jesus, that is sin. We're putting something before God. The Bible does say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and whatever else you need will be added unto you. Praise God. And Paul tells Timothy here, he says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. He's saying, my son Timothy, don't let anything get in your way. You walk with God, you serve God, you live for God, you put your faith in God, you put your hope in Him, you put your hope in eternal things, not in temporary things. You pursue righteousness, you pursue godliness, you pursue faith and love and patience and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Does that mean that I can't enjoy things that are down here? No, it doesn't mean that. God has given us richly all things to enjoy that He wants us to enjoy. But if something is a threat to come between you and God, my friend, you better get rid of it. You better choose God first. And people who ignore their sinful lifestyle, they continue to live as if God doesn't see or care. Well, God does give warning about this. Back in Matthew 24. Jesus' warning about the last days. And he says, in that day, 24 and 10, many will be offended and will betray one another. I've never met anybody that wasn't offended about something. Amen. And if they weren't offended, they got offended me asking if they were offended. People get offended. And people get out of church because they got offended. You know, we stand before God one day and God, you know, says, well, why didn't you keep serving me? I got offended. Yeah, how long is that going to stand up? You know, how's that going to work? Many will betray one another. And it says here in the last days, some will hate one another. And then it says, many false prophets will arise and deceive many. And I'm sure I can say of a certain that there are false prophets that have risen up today that are deceiving many. Man, sadly, some of them are in the love of money and just try to find a way to use God to get rich. My friend, when you're dealing with the Most High who created all things, who has your next breath in his hand, it's a foolish thing to be trying to use God for anything. As a matter of fact, when it comes down to it, we don't use God for anything. God uses us. Man. So there's false prophets. There's always been false prophets. There were false prophets in the Old Testament, New Testament, and there's false prophets today. People that don't speak the truth. And it says, Jesus says, and because a lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And if I ever seen a society where lawlessness is abounding, it's today. It seems that nothing is sacred or nothing is unsaid in public. There are things that I just, grown up as a kid, that you just didn't say in public. You might say it to your mom or to your dad. Your dad if you're a boy, your mom if you're a girl. There's just things you didn't talk about. Amen. And nothing goes unsaid today. Lawlessness abounds. It's abounding many ways. And the love of many, because our attention is on that, the love of many has grown cold. They're no longer in love with Jesus like they once were. They may have started out right. They may have started out being in love with Christ, walking with Christ, serving Christ, reading their Bible, praying. But somewhere along the line, they laid aside spiritual things and began to concentrate on the common and ordinary instead of concentrating on the eternal. My friend, keep your eyes on Jesus. Walk with God, serve God, live for Him. He's the reason you and I have our next heartbeat, our next breath. Amen. He didn't have to give us that. He has chosen to give us that because God is good. God is merciful. God is powerful. God wishes that no one would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God wants you to be ready when He comes. Amen. He's warned about past things in Noah's day so that we'll be prepared now when He comes in the clouds of glory. And I believe today He is coming one day in the clouds of glory. I don't know when, I don't know how, and I've never tried to figure it out by date and time. The Bible tells us not to, but I just know He will do just what He said He would do. Praise the Lord. And here that they willfully ignored the fact that God had judged the earth once with a flood, possibly two floods, once before the creation that we know it today, and surely in the one that in Noah's day. And so, we must be prepared. Remember the past and prepare for the future. Because the future could start today. And our future is eternal. We've been given the gift of eternal life. Amen. That's what God does. Amen.